This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hi, my name is Brooks Like, and welcome to the show. This is the How Men Think podcast, where we dive into the minds of these good sirs sitting here with me today. So we have Rick, we have Ryan, we have Dimitri, and we're going to plug in with Gavin later. He's out on tour. But first off, gentlemen, how are you doing? Let's say that. Let's bring you in.
Doing well.
Doing well? You look well.
Thank you.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Last week at the end of the show, we had Ryan's friend. Ryan proposed a situation that his friend was going through, and we had an enormous response, an outrageous amount of emails about what to do in this situation. So, Ryan, can you tee up, for anybody that didn't listen to the last episode, can you tee up the scenario, and then we're going to give our response to what we think we would do in that scenario.
No, they should go back and listen to the last episode. We'll wait.
Well done. You're a better salesman than I am.
And yeah. Pause.
Yeah. So what is the scenario? And then we'll give our response.
So the scenario is a buddy of mine, he and his now wife were having a lot of trouble to conceive. They'd gone through two rounds of IVF. She was previously married. And after the second failed round of IVF, she said to him, "Look, I really want to start a family with you. And we've gone through two rounds of IVF and we're unsuccessful. And I'm, you know, getting older and I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I don't know if it's in the cards for us, but I have a solution. Hear me out. The solution is my ex-husband and I went through IVF as well. And I have three viable embryos on ice with his sperm that I could implant tomorrow, and we could have a baby together and raise that baby as our own. The only stipulation being it will be my ex-husband's sperm and technically his baby."
And there's resentment for the ex, right?
Yeah,
from the current husband. There's resentment. He does not like this guy.
Yes, exactly right. I mean, yes.
So, and a lot of people weighed in, right?
Because we had a ton of emails.
So
we had a ton of emails, and everybody, overwhelmingly, I shouldn't say everybody, overwhelmingly, people said no. They could not get to the point of, like, because we asked the question, if you were that guy in this relationship, would you say to your wife, "Yes, let's take the embryo from you and your ex and implant and try and get pregnant that way?" And overwhelmingly, you guys responded with no. What is your feeling on the situation? What would you guys do?
My feeling is what I said a little bit at the end of the last episode was, you know, there's a lot of kids that need homes. So I think you look at adoption, if this is a real problem. But what I think is the bottom line, what it comes to is there's nothing more incredible than the feeling of being a dad. Okay. So it sounds like these two really want to be parents. I say, figure out what's best for you, whether that's adoption. What I will say is if you're going to use these embryos from a man that you have resentment towards, you have to make sure that you're 100% okay with it. Because once that baby is born, that's your baby, and you cannot have any of those feelings toward that baby.
So how do you ensure that?
Well, that you really got to think this through is what I'm saying. So you have to be 100% sure before you do this. Okay. But here's the thing. Like I said, people become, stepfathers to kids that are from someone else, and they love them and they accept them whether they like the father or not. So it can be done. But what I'm saying is you look at adoption and you figure out, and if this is what you want to do, then you do it and you be the best parent that you can be.
But the difference with the stepfather of it all is there was no choice.
There's no choice.
Equation.
Yes. Like,
this is a you're
they had a choice presented to get married.
Yes, but yes, I agree. But this, you're being presented with a situation where you have a choice and you're being asked, are you okay with this? And so He struggled with this exact thing, which is his wife laid out everything on the line, said, I want in my life, I want to be able to have my own child. Adoption is not really what I want. And while that's an option for some people, I want to know that I have my son or daughter is my own biologically, and that I've given birth to this child and that it is my own. And so do not take that from me. We have an option, and it just so happens to be my ex's sperm and our embryo, but like, we will raise this baby as our own. And he felt so conflicted because he said, well, if I don't allow her this, she's going to resent me. But if I do allow it, I'm going to resent her and potentially the child. So it's a zero sum game. There's going to be resentment from either side. So how do you proceed?
So, okay, here's one thought on this. They've tried IVF twice, I believe, right? Could they go around for one more shot at IVF? Could they do it one more time? I know you said last time she had fears that she wouldn't be able to do it, but like they've tried twice. I get that, but try one more time, maybe.
By the way,
like,
there are situations where, let alone that, there are situations where people are told they can't have a baby. They do IVF, and then they have a baby naturally. Like, things can
and
happen.
It's a lot. So I get it. It's a lot. 100%. I say that having been through IVF with my wife, knowing that it's financially expensive and it's a lot as far as your time and your energy and what it puts a woman's body through. Yeah. It is a massive undertaking. So anybody listening says, oh, it's easy to just say that. No, I understand what it's like to go through it. So I say that knowing fully what it's like to go through IVF, but a shot to have a baby together, maybe try it one more time. But here's the question. If it was you, Dimitri, there's no political answer here, yes or no. Like, could you say yes to your wife in that situation? Take the embryo from the ex and implant it?
I don't know that I could. I honestly, it would depend on me knowing this other person. But if it was just straight up generic resentment towards this other guy, I would have a problem knowing that I was bringing someone into the world based on that, and my feelings would be conflicted. If I had to give a quick answer, I would say no.
Yeah. Ryan?
I would say no. And by the way, I don't think that makes either of us a bad person. I think that's just the honest truth. Like, we're human beings, and if we're going to look at that kid and constantly be reminded of an ex that we're not fond of, then I don't think that's unfair. But that's just the honest truth.
I as well would say no. I don't think I could get there. And as much as I mentioned this on the podcast last week, as much as I would love to see a representation of my wife in a child, to see those qualities and to imagine if the child looks like your wife, even like how cool would that be? I just don't think I could get past the fact that it's an embryo with an ex and that there's resentment between me and that man already, whatever. I just don't see myself getting there. So in the current position, I would say no. And I would say I would like to try IVF one more time. And if it doesn't work, I would look at
adopting. I'll tell you how it all shaped up, which is,
wow.
He said exactly what all of us would have said, which is,
really,
I love you, but I cannot do it. I'm sorry. And I don't want that to ruin our marriage, but like, I can't, if I'm being honest, I can't do it. She was upset by that, admittedly, but they came to an agreement. It was like, we will do it one more time. Go through IVF one more time.
Wow.
She went to a different fertility doctor in Colorado, the leading guy in the nation, and got pregnant.
Come on. Hey. Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Wow. Do they know if they're having a boy or girl?
So they just literally like 2 weeks ago had a girl.
Come on. Wow. Yeah. Dang. So we didn't know that. Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That fires me up, man.
Yeah.
You know why? So this is why that really fires me up. My wife, I'll give her credit because she was the first person that I heard that said this, and I adopted it on the spot. She said, no is not an answer. We'll always find a way. And she applies that in her business, in her career, in her life. She says, no is not an answer that I will accept. I will always find a way. And these two did that. You know, they could have went that way, and it could have caused, who knows what that would have caused in their relationship. But I just love it. They dug in. That's and fantastic. They found a way to do it together. And now that baby is their own. That fires me up. I love that.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Brooks Like, and this is How Men Think.
Right now, we are missing our buddy in studio, Mr. Gavin DeGraw, so I cannot introduce him right here. But we've got Ryan, Rick, and Dimitri.
Fear not. Gavin will be on later.
Yes. Should we have a moment of silence?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's on tour.
We need to smile like Gavin does every time he gets intro.
We will be checking in with Gavin live from the road.
I'll fill in for him now. Hey, thanks, Brooks. It feels good to be here. I'm smiling. Yeah. You know, I'm happy every day. Yeah. I smile every day.
I had a good meal before I got here.
You know, yeah.
Where's my check?
I ordered a shrimp cocktail at a steakhouse.
I miss him, though. I miss him. We are going to call him. He's out on tour. Fantastic performer, so we're going to touch base with him. Kind of upset that we're not on tour with him right now. So I don't know. Maybe, Amy, do we even call him or do we cut him from this show?
Oh, never. No, How dare you?
I would never to my
buddy. Dimitri and Gavin had a little bit of a romantic adventure in Lake Tahoe.
I don't know what? If romantic is. Well, actually, it was pretty romantic.
What did we miss?
Well, we had some downtime. There was other stuff going on. And, you know, we were just looking around and Gavin said, it's such a beautiful area, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And I normally don't fall for this, but he said, do you want to go for a drive? And I was like,
oh.
And I giggled like a schoolgirl. And I was like, I think I do.
Yeah. Felt good.
Yeah. So we drove around the lake and then he did the old, well, this is, look how beautiful. Let's pull over and get out and take pictures.
Oh, no.
And again, I was like, not something I normally do, but sure. But so what happened was we just got out and looked. It was actually a very beautiful scene. But what his dog Buddy was in the car too, and I think he was mad because I got the front seat. So when we got out, we got back in, and Buddy had taken my seat.
Oh no!
And at that point, I was like, okay, well, Buddy, I know this is your car, but I can't go back. I can't go back to camp and be riding in the back seat with you up front because I'm gonna look like him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say bitch, but that's what I'm gonna look like. So so we compromised. I got in the car. We put, you know, Buddy got down on the floor, and then I got there, and then Buddy jumped up on my lap. So every stoplight we stopped at, everybody just looked over and saw Gavin, myself, and Buddy on my lap. And I'm going to be honest. I think we look pretty cute.
I have a burning question. I don't know. This whole time, this has been in my mind. What music did he play for you?
It was weird. He played all his music. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I don't know. I don't know that there was music playing. I think we just had the windows down, smelling the Tahoe air.
Deep conversation?
Deep conversation.
Yeah, we were talking, for
was
sure.
Was it like real good eye contact?
I mean, it was made it dangerous, but yes, he did keep... We kept making eye contact, and I was like, should you be looking at the road? But it was actually a very nice drive, and I got to know a little bit about Gavin, a little bit about Tahoe, because I'd never been to Tahoe. And, you know, Rick was warming up because he was swimming the next day. And he spent the whole weekend in a Speedo, which I thought unnecessary.
I want to channel my inner Gavin right now. Let me ask you a question. Is this car a stick shift or an automatic?
Hypothetically speaking, if the car broke down. No, I'm having fun with it. We did have a nice time, though. Yeah. We had a whole nice time the whole weekend, right?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. Thank everyone for supporting. And it was a blast.
How did you
had
do?
A great race. We did well. Yeah. The weather was perfect.
Rick, why don't you fill everybody in on what you could just competed in?
Yeah. So we just finished the Trans Tahoe race, which is a 12-mile race across Lake Tahoe. There's six people, participants, and it's a relay race. So everybody swims a half an hour. And then after you do your first half hour, you go increments of 10 minutes until you finish. It was a 80-degree day. There was no wind, so the lake was perfectly flat. We started off. We ended up finishing 63rd out of 267 teams, I think it was, total.
Nice.
Sixth in our age bracket. So we were pleased with the results. Wow. It was exciting.
Congratulations,
yeah, it was
brother.
As
thank
a
you.
Lady, I did not mind the Speedos at all. I enjoyed them.
We saw the photos. It looked like the water must have been cold. Is that...
It's definitely cold. Yeah.
Quit putting everybody else down to make yourself feel better.
We dubbed it How Men Shrink. I will say, though, I was on the boat. I was kind of, would you call me an honorary team?
Oh, yeah. You're
captain,
substitute.
Mascot,
you're
whatever.
Co-captain.
Possible substitute.
Co-pilot
so,
captain.
Yeah, I was ready to jump in, or you know, to for anybody that could not finish for any reason. I did not have a Speedo, but Amy said the Speedos were not bad. You were not on a boat with six of them just staring at you.
Was that kind of an FYI?
She just, for those of you that aren't watching or can't see, she just hit her mouth on the mic.
Because I wanted to say, I wish I was.
Oh. A question for you, Rick. In a 30-minute swim, it's a 12-mile race, in a 30-minute swim, how far would you swim in 30 minutes?
We did not measure it, but I estimated roughly, we probably swam about a mile and a half.
Each. So each partner did 30 minutes. So that's six times through. And then how many increments of 10 minutes did you do?
I had to do three.
Wow.
10 minutes after that. Okay. So, yeah. But I started the race. So basically the race started at 7:50 a.m. They dropped me off around 7. I sat on the beach for a while. I had clothes on, and then you put your clothes in a bag.
Yeah.
And then the sponsorship brings it over to the end of the race, and you grab your clothes after. But the beginning of the race is kind of hectic. Like, there's everyone's jumping in the water at one time. Everyone's running. It's cold. It was a gorgeous day, but we're on the east side of the lake, and so it's still shadowed. The sun hasn't come up yet. Yep. Water is cold, and I was heading around the first buoy, and I think I got like either altitude sickness or maybe it was the Three Fingers rum the night before. I'm not sure.
You were drinking the night before?
We had a couple sips. Yeah, just a couple sips.
It's like, it's like tin cup. It's like, what do you think I should do? I think you ought to get drunk. You always play better when you're hungover.
That's who we were talking about.
Because I was like, because obviously I was drinking the night before because I didn't have to, you know, as an alternate, you don't really have to. But then I was like, I was actually surprised at how much these guys were drinking, but I wasn't going to be like, guys, should you stop? Because then I would have been drinking alone, and that's an awkward feeling. I will say, all joking aside, you did a phenomenal job. Like, all the jokes I'm making about the Speedos and that, you guys were in there and you were swimming, and it was pretty impressive swimming through that lake. Was it, what did you say it was, 12 miles?
12 miles.
I was impressed, and I have to tip my cap to you. You'll see pictures. I was boat drinking beers, cheering them on, so maybe I looked a little lazy, but you guys did a great job. It was impressive.
Thank you. It was great to see, like, every time you would turn and stroke and breathe, Dimitri on the boat, like, sipping his Coors Light. Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, just another 9 more minutes until we get to have one of those.
For anybody that hasn't or isn't a swimmer, try swimming 30 minutes straight in a lake. That is hard as hell.
Yeah.
Try swimming 30 minutes straight in a pool and front crawl the whole way.
Yep. Or freestyle
whole way.
Yeah.
What's front crawl?
Front crawl is Canadian.
So Danielle and I would love nothing more than to hear you guys talk about swimming the whole time. But instead, we'd rather know, how long do you wait to have sex with someone that you have just begun dating?
Did you meet somebody?
You mean like
asking for a friend? It actually is from a listener.
Okay, after, a listener question?
After the race or before the race?
The night before the race? Before a race? Yeah. There's a lot of studies.
There's a lot of theory behind that.
Save your legs. Don't do it.
Let me ask you that on that topic. Did you abstain from sex before NHL games? Like, was there a policy team-wide? It's like night before game, guys.
There was never a policy. Yeah. No, you're grown men. You can do what you want. There's grown men with families, wives, kids. It just, you're in control of your career. Show up and your performance is going to reflect your preparation, usually. So I never had anything like that. I was single most of my life, so... wasn't really doing much.
Well, and you already admitted that after the games you would go and work out. So clearly you weren't getting much before the games because you had so much energy even after.
I just have a lot of energy in general, brother.
So let's focus. So here's the question. Is the success of the relationship determined in any way by how long you wait? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how some women, made him wait for 3 months and then he married me. You know what I mean? This is... seriously, a question from her. And then she also wants to know, this might be a lot of information, but did you wait longer with your wives than maybe a previous relationship?
So you're asking, like, when you're first dating somebody, that's what you're asking.
How long
do you wait to have sex? I mean, do you want us to know what we want? Or, like, I mean, like, the guy you want to, like...
I'll go.
Hit it right there, right? I mean, right? Isn't that what you want to hear, right? Like, yeah, we want to have sex that night if she's ready to go.
But would that stop you from wanting to date her?
See, I think it depends on what you're expecting or what you want from that situation. If it's like, obviously you're saying, yeah, a guy wants to have sex all the time. So first date, he'd like to have sex. But in my opinion, it's like, all right, if this is someone you can see spending, you're going to have that like, oh, she just had sex right away. So is that something that affects you? Is that something that bothers you?
I agree with what he's saying. So when you meet somebody that you have an intellectual connection with, an emotional connection with, because you meet somebody that you're physically attracted to, and then you meet somebody else that you're intrigued by. And when you meet that person that really intrigues you, from a man's standpoint, I think it's actually more enjoyable to not rush to the physical, because you, as Dimitri said, you probably see this person, you see yourself with this person long term. So you don't want to know, oh, we just hooked up on the first night. You kind of want to have a courting period there. This is from my life anyway, in my standpoint. You want to have a courting period where it's maybe 1, 2, 3 dates, whatever it is, before you get really physical. And it's actually a really exciting time versus rushing right to it. And then, maybe you haven't learned this person enough, or maybe that just tarnishes the intrigue a little bit. Being respectful. Also, because if you really appreciate and are intrigued by this person, you want to respect them, and you're probably not going to push those boundaries right out of the blocks.
And that's the way I feel. That's a preference, but it doesn't mean it doesn't work. Like, I do have friends that hooked up, slept together on the first date, and they're happily married. They have a bunch of kids, and things are going great. So it is possible, but it's really probably just a preference thing.
Well, I think what you were saying, Brooks, there's an excitement to the anticipation of actually having sex. It goes back to what I said weeks ago on about Christmas morning. I dread Christmas morning because it's here and then it's going to go away. It's supposed to be the happiest day in the year, but it's like, once it's there, it's done. So it's the buildup that leads to the moment, to me, that's probably more exciting than the actual moment itself.
Yes. Are you saying you get sex for Christmas?
The chase. I think what you're saying is chase. So for a guy, the chase is really enjoyable. And I'm sure, I can't speak from a female standpoint, but I'm sure for them it's the same thing. But the chase of getting, plus you're just infatuated by somebody, you're getting to know them, and that's going to amplify the physical experience when it comes to that. But that chase,
the chase is everything,
is really exciting.
I agree. I think the chase is really exciting, but I think you're all kind of wrong, because I feel like if you're actually sitting there and you're at a very nice dinner and you're having the time of your life, and she is too, or he or whatever, and like, the, you just want to get at it. Like, why not?
Well, see,
maybe like that's the whole point.
If Gavin was
not the whole point,
if Gavin was here, he'd say, hold on, what am I having for dinner? Because if it's a nice steak, maybe I can put off the sex.
And then he'd say, who's paying for dinner? But yeah, I think go either way. As Demetri said, I do have friends that have hooked up on the first night, have been married 15 years and have kids. So that doesn't mean that that's going to dictate the quality of the relationship, but I think it's just a personal preference. Do you want to advance the physical part of it sooner or later? I prefer later.
And I'll wrap it up with this. I think the older you get, the more you know what you want. So when you find that person, if you are older, you're like, yeah, I know this. I want to have sex with this person. Like, I'm not going to waste any time. I know what I want. He has what I want. Let's do this.
We'll be right back in just a second. Okay, we're going to get into today's topic. We've covered this before on the show. So you guys remember the episode where my wife Julianne was on, and she had mentioned about a special lady named Miss Jaya, who is a sex therapist.
See, I'll be honest, I thought that was a metaphor. I didn't realize that was a real person.
Sorry.
Now I realize that.
Yes, she's a sexologist, not a sex therapist. I got that. I just want to clear that up. But we talked about this lady named Miss Jaya, and she has an erotic blueprint, and it's at eroticbreakthrough.com. You can take this erotic blueprint, and it sort of gives you a little background about what you are, sensually, sexually, just your erotic blueprint. And so my wife and I have both taken this. And did you guys take it? Have you guys taken it now?
We have taken it.
You have taken it?
Yeah.
And the response from that show was incredible. We had so many people email us and jump on our Instagram page saying they want to hear more from Miss Jaya. So today we actually have Miss Jaya coming on with us, which is, Rick's eyes just lit up. He's like, oh boy, all your answers or all your questions your whole life.
What were your erotic blueprints? You know how it gave you one word describing you?
I was a shapeshifter.
What is that?
That's what Miss Jaya is going to answer.
I was a head.
That was my email to you.
Sorry. I was a shapeshifter also.
A shapeshifter?
Shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter.
My wife was also a shapeshifter.
Well, that's what I want to know. Is it an ideal situation that you and your partner are the same, or does a shapeshifter pair well with a kinky?
I think actually in the test, I think it does say who you pair well with. I believe, but I could be mistaken.
Sounds like a question. Oh,
I can't wait to get her in here.
What did you get?
I got kinky.
You're kinky.
Obviously, whoa. Brooks.
Wow.
No, he got kinky taking the quiz. What did you get?
Wait, is that why you guys are a match? Or you were asking
no,
that
he's
question?
No, he's a shapeshifter, and I'm a kinky.
There's
and I was not expecting that, but look.
I Dimitri? Got sexual was
ooh.
Mine.
Ooh. Yeah. Sexual.
Which I don't know if you read the fine print after. It said this is the best thing to be.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll ask Ms. Jaya, but I'm pretty sure that's
we'll ask. And then Amy's face is really red over here because she is...
Kinky.
Yeah. I just get a text message from her. Oh, God, of course, I'm kinky. That's all it said.
She hadn't even taken the quiz yet.
I feel like you even changed you changed your voice when you said that word, too, to try to, you know.
Did I sound kinkier?
You have a big smile on right now.
I'm wearing it like a badge of honor. What'd you get, Danielle?
I got sensual.
Sensual. And Tori and Hannah took it, too, right? What did you guys get? So if you guys want to take this, you can go to eroticbreakthrough.com. Miss Jaya can talk more about it, but this is an erotic blueprint to give you a little idea into how you look at intimacy and sex.
This is producer Tori, and I had energizer. Or energetic.
Shocking.
It's whatever.
Shocking. She came in hot.
I also think it's also what Miss Jaya is, because she said we share the same erotic blueprint.
Young Hannah.
This is young Hannah. And I got sexual. Same as Dimitri.
Okay. So it's kind of neat that we have like all different
kinds. Mixture.
A mixture.
Yeah.
That we have all different kinds on this panel. So I'm interested to ask questions to Miss Jaya and find out what this means for us. And so we have Jaya on the show with us. Welcome, Jaya.
Hello, so pleased to be here.
Yeah,
welcome.
Round of applause. Woo! I cannot state this enough. I'm so excited that you're here. We have four gentlemen here that are extremely lost in this area and are looking for some answers. And then also, I just want to pass on to you. I don't know if you heard the episode with my wife, Julianne Huff, where she mentioned your name and that we took your erotic blueprint quiz. My wife doesn't fangirl over many people. But last night when I told her that we were speaking with you on the podcast today, she tried to literally clear her schedule to come meet you.
Wow.
So
oh, my God.
She wanted me to pass that on, that she is a massive fan of yours, and she hopes that we can connect and talk. She just loves what you do, loves your work, and has so many questions for you. So sometime after the show, we'll have to continue the conversation. But we just want to introduce you to our listeners, and... You're often mistaken for a sex therapist, but you're actually referred to as a sexologist. Can you elaborate on that for us, please?
So I have the great pleasure of not just talking about sex, but I help people hands-on. So my practice is somatic, meaning, you know, people come into my office, we talk a little, and then I actually see how they touch each other. So I can say, hey, you're touching her like a piece of meat. You need to start touching her more like... very gently, like a tulip, or like you're dropping a pebble into a pond, so that we can start to really get this. Not sex is just something we can talk about. It's something that we actually need to get hands on and hands in with.
Wow. So you actually get to watch and coach real time.
Yes. I watch and coach real time. I work with the physical body. We work with biochemistry. So we're working with hormones. We're working with the emotional aspects, and we work with the energetic aspects.
Wow. Okay, so I just want to read here your mission. So it says, your mission is to help people gain access to erotic ecstasy. You're committed to shifting the cultural view of sexuality from being something that is bad, wrong, or shameful to something seen as healthy, worth cultivating, and celebrating, which I think is an incredible mission. And you've been doing this work for now over two decades?
Over two decades. I really want to acknowledge you guys. You know, people kind of judge like, oh, they're working on their sex life, you know, things must be going wrong or stuff like that. And it's like, no, this is something that we need to bring out of the dark and start talking about, because people feel like they're wrong, they're broken, something, you know, shameful, let's not talk about it. Why not do this in the beginning of your relationship? That takes a lot of courage. And I just really want to acknowledge you guys, because that's amazing that you took steps to really improve, talk about these things, have conversations. Because I see couples 30, 40 years into their relationship and they've never had the conversation about sex, and they're both really, really suffering in this area.
Well, and you, this is Dimitri. you might know me as Sexual from the results. but it's kind of like a car, right? Like, you don't wait for your car to break down to get it tuned up, right? You bring it in and you get it tuned up so that it doesn't break down. And I imagine that's the same thing with a relationship and a sexual relationship.
And if you get a hyper sports car, you want to know how the thing works. You know, like some people are like,
Brooks.
Some people have a McLaren and you got to learn, you know, how to all the buttons and how to drive it and the right gas to put in it. And that's a more sophisticated blueprint. So you mentioned your sexual blueprint, but that would be like an energetic shapeshifter. Is that fine automobile? You got to know how to play it just right.
So I have a question for you, Jaya. So when my wife first, she came home one day and she said, I found this quiz that gives you an erotic blueprint. I've read up on it. I've started studying her stuff. She's watched your videos. She was really informed on you when she brought you to me. And originally, as you said, I pushed away. I was like, we don't need that. Our sex life is great. Why do we need to, what is this? I was uncomfortable with it. Just full transparency. I was uncomfortable with this. It was something that my wife had never mentioned before.
Did you feel inadequate?
No, I was curious. Like, why is she not happy? I kind of started thinking, like, is she not happy in our sex life? And then I started thinking about it more, and I was like, well, I'm extremely well versed in nutrition, but I still go to a nutritionist. I'm extremely well versed in athletics and training, but I still seek advice from strength and conditioning coaches and this other kinds of areas of my life that I might be proficient at, but I still want to grow in that area. And I'm not saying I'm proficient sexually, but when I started thinking about it that way, I was like, oh, actually I'm just seeking some growth in the area versus something is wrong. But why do we tend to look at, for maybe listeners that think, oh, I could never go to a sexologist or something, why do we tend to think that that's sort of taboo? And which I love your mission is you're trying to change that. But what is our mindset to try and think that that's taboo?
Yeah, we have this history of let's put it under the rug, let's not talk about sex. I mean, we're taught from an early age about sex. And I ask people this question all over. What were you taught about sex growing up? And a lot of people say, oh, I didn't get sex education. But you were taught about sex. You were taught, let's not talk about it. You were taught, this is how we behave. You were taught, close your legs, be good. Don't, you know, hush, 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 hush. Again, they're like, don't talk about it, peace. Creates the taboo around it, which either becomes an erotic charge, like, oh, it's naughty. That's one of the blueprints as well. It's like, that's naughty. Let's not talk about it. And that turns me on.
Hi, Jaya. I just wanted to ask you, you know, what the benefit of going to,
a sexologist
early on in the relationship when you're with somebody and you guys both think you may have everything kind of going on the right way. And what's the advantage of that?
So at the beginning of a relationship, everything's kind of hot sexually, biochemically, you know, you're like, oh, new hormones, new energy. And then what happens is we go into the default of how we're wired erotically. And so after like 6 months to 18 months, biochemistry changes, the limerence wears off. And now we're like, maybe this person isn't right for me. But what we do when we have preventative, which is we really love this person. And I want to bust a myth here, which is about sexual compatibility. We think when we go talk to somebody about our sexuality or we like it isn't super hot in the bed or we're not having the orgasms that we might think we should be having, we say, oh, I'm incompatible with that person. But it's not incompatibility. If you love someone, you're going to learn their language. So think about it more as a language. Mm-hmm. And so wouldn't it be better at the beginning of the relationship, oh my gosh, you speak Spanish and I speak French. Let me learn French and let me learn Spanish. Now we know each other's languages. As we go into the relationship, we can keep it much hotter. Or if things change, say you have a baby. I hear one of you has a baby on the way. Or your partner gets pregnant. Blueprints can change. Sexuality can change. And now you have a language to go, oh, my partner just shifted to energetic. Now I know how to speak Chinese versus I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how to touch my partner anymore. I don't understand why things have changed and we're at a loss. And before you know it, you're in a sexless situation or you're just dissatisfied and not talking about it and you're going through the motions.
So what is one thing that the most common problem that you see in couples when they contact you? they aren't having sex, or the sex isn't enjoyable, or is it a partner is giving sex or acts of sex how they want to receive them, and it's not how their partner receives them or prefers to like, what are some common problems that maybe our listeners are facing and maybe we're facing that we don't know?
We actually have an epidemic on our hands of sexist relationships. You'd be really surprised. Last I heard statistically, I think it was 1 in 7 long-term relationships were sexless. 1 in 3 in the U.S. And so this is that's a lot of sexist relationships. And then we have the quality of sex. So we have people who aren't having sex. And then we have the, I'm just not enjoying myself. I'm not saying anything. I wish my partner would read my mind. I hear this a lot from we can say the feminine energy people or people who identify as women who say, you know, I just wish my partner would know what to do and read my mind and be able to just voila, magically give me orgasms. And that's not how it works. So part of it's a communication challenge. And I had this in my own relationship. You know, here I was a sex therapist, I'm not a sex therapist. I was a sexologist who, when I knew all the sex techniques, I knew everything. I'd written the book on oral. I'd written the book on erotic massage. I'd written the book on sex positions. I couldn't get my own partner to have sex with me. And so if you guys can imagine, I'm already like 15 years into my career and my own, like we're rolling over on the opposite side of the bed and I'm crying myself to sleep at night because I'm incongruent with what I'm doing for a living. I had to figure out what this was. And it wasn't about another sex technique. It wasn't about me, you know, strip teasing on the floor. That wasn't my partner's blueprint. Now, the sexuals, you guys might have loved the strip tease on the floor, but my partner's not a sexual. So I had to refigure out all of this. And that's where part of this came from, was my own pain and my own relationship. I'm happy to say we have an amazing, epic sex life now. But that time period after me having a baby and me trying to figure out who he was erotically, and it wasn't the stereotype of what we think men are. We think men are all sexual and this is how they should behave. I'm naked, I'm on the bed, he should be ready to go. But that's not the truth. As we've learned through 70,000 people now taking this quiz, we see that there are men who have many different blueprints, not just the sexual blueprint.
Is the beginning of the blueprint, no matter what the blueprint is it communication? Is that how you would start the blueprint out?
So we start with taking the quiz,
right,
and then figuring out from there, what is it just mentally that you would start to type in? And the quiz will give you different percentages in that map. Then we actually have physical games. So I don't know how many of you have been to the eye doctor where you do like, here's A and here's B, which one can you see clearer? Yeah. It's a similar thing where we start to play games with the body. Because to me, it's about how the body responds. Somebody may say, I'm not kinky. This is the one that happens the most frequently. I'm not the kinky blueprint, which are people who are turned on by taboo. But then we get them touching and all of a sudden their body responds like, oh my God, I love that rope, or oh my, like, you know, I love dominated. And that doesn't lie.
So we mentioned this already before, but for people listening, they can take this quiz and find out your erotic blueprint at eroticbreakthrough.com. But say somebody hasn't taken the quiz or somebody has taken the quiz, what are the different erotic blueprints and what are characteristics of those blueprints?
Great question. So there's 5 erotic blueprints. The first one is energetic. It's someone who's turned on by anticipation, space, tease, and longing. They love to yearn. Their superpowers that they can have orgasms without even being touched. So they can go into high pleasure without actually having physical touch. This is a conundrum for some of the other blueprints.
I find that one really interesting because there are, like learning about this, there are people that they're most turned on when their partner is 6 feet away or across the room. Like
or
that.
In another city. Oh, not exactly. The same thing. Got it.
We're unavailable. That can be a shadow part.
So that's an energetic.
Each blueprint has a superpower and each blueprint has a shadow. The shadow side of the energetic is they're so sensitive that they may short circuit. So if you approach them too much, too quickly, too fast. I don't know if any of you had this experience where you're like about to kiss somebody and it's so hot and like your lips are just like there. You're about to do it. And then there's all this excitement. And then the moment the kiss happens, it kind of fades. that could be that you're an energetic, or that it was just too much, and more time in that yearning and longing and tease and edge play would be even more powerful. So that's the first one. And the second one is the sensual. And the sensual is turned on by all of their senses being ignited. So this is taste, smell, touch. Superpower is that they can have non-genital orgasms. So this could be like sucking on someone's big toe, or, you know, going down on the back of their knee, something like that.
Hopefully really they took a shower before.
That sounds like sensual shadow. Who just said that?
That was Rick.
He's sure. Also the one that perked up when you said there was a book on oral. So he's a roller coaster over here.
I am holding a microphone.
So that's sensual. So we have energetic. We have sensual. Yeah.
And then the sexual is someone who's turned on by what we think of in our culture as sex. This is penetration, erection, intercourse. That is, and there's 0 to 60. Like, I can get turned on usually high drive very, very quickly. And sex is fun. It's simple. So superpower is that it's just, it's simple. It's easy. It's like, how can you go wrong? And sex helps the sexual relax. Whereas like a sensual, they need to relax first in order to have sex. Mm.
So a sexual is maybe more like a primal feeling.
Yes. Sex is a need. It's a desire. It's a drive. It's like everything is right in the world if I am having sex, successful sex.
I think that's Gavin, isn't it?
Dimitri's sexual.
See, that's what I came. Thank you. No. I came up as that in the quiz, but I don't know that that's, I don't know that that says, you know, nails me to a T there. I mean, I don't feel primal. I don't feel like I need to have sex. At least the way it was described there, it sounds very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very like
transactional,
cavemanish.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You
know,
primal.
I don't know. I don't think that's me.
I'm sure you probably possess, or Jaya, you could answer this, but like Dimitri, so he's saying he's sexual, but that doesn't sound like him. He would possess elements of all these other blueprints, wouldn't he?
Don't be embarrassed by your blueprint, Dimitri.
I'm not embarrassed. Actually, but the truth is, so the way these broke down, I don't remember what they said, but I know it said sexual was a certain percentage, and then you're at something else a certain percentage. So maybe that's what you're saying.
Yeah, you possess
other blueprints. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be somebody who's like let's say they're 80% sexual. They're going to, like, that is a need, desire, want, if it's high on your percentages. Whereas, like, my mapping used to be that I was 43% sexual. And then I was 33% energetic. So I had those two as my high. My bottom, my zero, was kinky. Now my partner, that's the next blueprint on here, kinky is turned on by the taboo. Someone who's turned on by taboo, and that can be psychological kinky with dominance and submission play, or it can be more sensation-based like spanking or the feeling of constriction on your body, something like that. My partner's highest is kinky.
Wow.
And my zero was kinky. My highest was sexual. His zero was sexual. So we were complete opposites, which is why I'm strip teasing for him. And he's going, why are you doing that? That does not, you know, not doing it for me.
See, and that makes sense, because I just pulled up my results. Sexual was, it was the most dominant one, but it was only 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And then shapeshifter 26.
Oh, so you're very
sensual,
close.
17, kinky 17, and energetic 8.
Jaya, is it safe to say if you are polar opposite with your significant other, are you in the most need of help? Is that?
Yeah, I guess I'd say what I'd say you are, not help necessarily, but education. It's like learning. It's learning a language, and it's just getting an education around, well, how do I speak? Like, you know, Dimitri being 8% there, then energetic is the place where he could expand and develop. So once you know your blueprint, it's about learning how to feed it so you feel satisfied. Speaking it, like, what are the right words to use? Like, you're not going to go to an energetic and speak sexual. That's going to turn them off. And the body language that you use. Healing the shadow aspects of the blueprint. And then the final piece is expanding into new territory with the blueprint. So when I went to expand, I started expanding into kinky, because that was my partner's language, to learn that and start to find my own turn on in that, so we can find crossover where we really love to dance.
So that's four of them. So far we have energetic, sensual, kinky, sexual, and then what is the fifth one?
And the final one is the shapeshifter. And the shapeshifter is someone who's turned on by everything. It's they love it all. They could go forever. They speak all the languages. They're great lovers. The shadow side, though, of this.
This is, by the way, Brooks is a shapeshifter.
And Ryan's
the,
just
the amount of gloating he is doing right now.
That, I'm not doing any
for
gloating.
For our listeners that they can't see, it's just like the smile on his face and the way he's just sitting back, like taking it all in. It's tough to watch.
By the way,
but please continue.
By the way, Brooks speaks six languages.
And he also, he's made $30 million in his NHL career, but he's counting.
There's a new category called Brooks now. That's
that has nothing to do with sex, though.
I was doing none of those things. Ryan just got irritated as soon as you started saying that, because we had talked before, and I am a shapeshifter. I've taken the test. I am a shapeshifter, and my wife is also a shapeshifter.
Wow.
So is it
a variety and drive there?
Is it good to be opposite, or is it tough to be opposite of your partner? Is it good to be the same erotic blueprint as your partner? Is that good?
There's pros and cons to both. So it can be like, if you get two energetics together and they both are really high energetics, it's great. But if you get somebody who's like me, who was an energetic sexual, I really love the physical aspect of sex. So if I would just get really, really frustrated if somebody didn't also have that in their blueprint map, because I want that physical aspect. Now, two shapeshifters together can be great because you've got all that variety. But what if one of you is in this mood one night, but you're in the other mood, you know, like one of you is energetic one night and the other is sexual, and you might need 3 to 4 hours to have sex, or, you know, 10. I had a partner who was that way, and we couldn't get sex under 13 hours, like every time we were having sex. And I know there's other things to do in life.
Under 13 hours?
Couldn't get it under 13 hours. We were like 16 to 20 hours we were averaging of our lovemaking experiences. Yeah.
Like in a month?
in an evening.
What is that, over winter break?
That's
called the champion.
Yeah.
I don't know about
I liken it to Olympic athletes, you know, like where the shapeshifter can be like an Olympic athlete. And I'm more like a astronaut, where I just like to explore all that's erotically possible. Like, what are all the different things that we can do and play with? Because in sexuality, we're only hitting the tip of the iceberg with the conversation. There's so much that's possible that most people just don't even know.
Yeah. And if you're a majority of one of those five, and like, do you want to work on the others? I mean, even if, like, you know, you want to be a well-balanced person, right? So if you don't match your partner, but you want to maybe work on something else, or I don't know.
Yeah. Do you ever see somebody that's nearly 20% for each of the five categories? So they are the most well-rounded.
We do see people who are well-rounded. It's usually after they've been through some of our work. Like, my goal is that everybody sort of becomes a full spectrum human in their sexuality, so that they become shapeshifters, essentially. I think it's our true essence as human beings. I just think we get shamed out of different desires. Like, this is okay, that's not okay. And then that starts to shape and form who we are erotically. And so we have this conditioned erotic mask. When we start to take that mask off, you start to see that people are much more varied in their sexual desire and what they really love. They start to learn that, oh, I didn't even know that I liked that. They start to go, oh, I'm free now to express that, as they start to learn more and more and more about their sexuality.
I think that's a very important point, which you just touched on there, is sometimes I think in a relationship it could be difficult for a person or a couple to bring up topics like this, to talk about what they want sexually. And for people listening, taking, just from my own experience, taking this erotic blueprint quiz just sort of opened the door a little bit for my wife and I. We have very good communication as it is, but it opened the door a little bit for us to just talk about more of this. And this was a platform and a way for me to voice what I want, things that are important to me. And then because we were both shapeshifters, we started discussing things, different things, specific things that turn us on, whether it's a touch or a kiss of the ear or space, or like just gently rubbing your hand or your fingertips down a back or stuff like that. So if you're struggling, people listening, if you're struggling in your relationship to bring up something like this, or you want to bring up something like this, this erotic blueprint quiz is maybe a little bit of an icebreaker that you can share with your partner to start this conversation.
I'd be dead on.
Okay, I have one. I have a question for you then. So, moving from that, Jaya, the sex quiz, the erotic blueprint quiz. Can you give everyone listening one or two really important questions from the quiz? Maybe what the most important one is and what that answer might tell us. Is there anything that jumps out from this quiz?
Absolutely. I love to just do an exercise with my partner. I'm most turned on when, and go back and forth with one another. So one of the examples would be something like, I'm most turned on when I'm doing something I consider edgy, naughty, or taboo. Or I'm most turned on when I'm immersed in a beautiful environment with amazing fragrances, music, and sensual artistry. So how would you answer this, you guys? Which one of you are most turned on with edgy, naughty, and taboo, or beautiful environment with smells and music and artistry?
I have to admit, I fell asleep when you were talking about the beautiful environment and the music and the artistry. So,
so what would you? What would be your
the
your
former,
idea? Which is
more
edgy, naughty,
taboo? I guess, yeah.
Oh. As I'm watching you, I notice too, like when I'm talking about those things, you light up a little bit. So I've just been, I watch body language a lot to just see when people light up or, and so I would agree with you on that one.
The truth is I lit up because I was looking at Brooks, and it's all of us were victims of it, but yeah, I get it.
To answer your question, I really like an environment. So I like some dim lighting. I like candles on, music. I like that, but then also something specifically that really gets me in the mood would be when my wife wears lingerie. So when she comes, it's just, there's an element of risque, there's an element of desire and lust, and also a little space there. So if she wears lingerie, but she's just like 5 or 6 feet away, or maybe she just walks around the bed a little bit or walks back or just creates a little bit of space there, is something that's very erotic for myself.
Do you need a minute?
Awesome.
Do
and
you
so
need
that
a
with
minute?
The lingerie.
Do you need a minute?
I may.
I got nervous because Brooks was like, I like a room that smells good, it's dimly lit. And he started describing the room we're in right now. And it kind of made me a little.
You guys are pretty, but you're not as pretty as my wife.
And with the lingerie, that can be more sensual or it could be sexual. You know, if it's the visual part of it, it's like seeing the body, it's like seeing the roundness of a butt or, you know, seeing breasts. That piece is more of the sexual blueprint. But then if it's like, I like the feeling of the lace and I like the colors, then that can be more sensual in the environment.
We actually, she was cleaning out her lingerie drawer 2 days ago. And I told her to throw out everything that wasn't black or red. So anything that had pink on it or anything, I was like, I don't. And I think maybe in the past I might have liked that, but now anything black or red, to me, that's very sexy. And I think the other thing about lingerie is that to me, it emotes a feeling that she's excited and she's erotic. So when when she puts it on, I mean, I don't ask her to put it on. She puts it on. I'm like, whoa, she's really in the mood and really erotic right now. And that stimulation mentally is a big part of the experience as well.
When you say throw them away, you mean like donate them? You just toss them in the trash?
Yeah, donate it. We always, Dimitri, donate everything that we give away. Perfect. Or that we have no use for.
Like lingerie.
I gave it to Rick.
He's wearing it right now.
You two gentlemen, what about you? What is something specifically...
I think mine, something like a turn on is probably more mental, and it's more of like, I find situations to be exciting. So if you're out somewhere, maybe you're I don't know if you're out at a bar or a restaurant or with, you know, and all of a sudden you realize you kind of connect with your partner and realize that you're both kind of thinking something and no one else knows that you're thinking this, and you have to go, like, say you're at a dinner party, right? And you and your wife are both aware that you're attracted to each other right now, but no one else knows. To me, that's exciting. And you think, okay, well, we're going to go through this. We're
going to
kind of
like,
go
are
through
you
this.
Going into the bathroom I need a little more information.
But by the time you get home, when you go home, then it's on.
Okay.
And so it's just that acknowledgement of knowing, and you're both kind of turned on, but no one else knows it. And to me, that's exciting.
When you're, can I jump in on this for a second?
Because yeah. What do you mean jump in on the
permission granted?
Like, are you passing notes to each other? No, are you touching each other's legs?
I have something. Happening? I have something on this topic. So, what you were just saying, I know what you're talking about. And here's a story from a teammate. I'm not going to say his name, but a teammate of mine.
Brooks just winked when he said teammate. Continue, Brooks.
He bought, and Jaya, I'm interested to see what you think of this. He bought his wife vibrating underwear that he had a remote to. Oh. And so when they would go out, and sometimes to team parties, a Christmas party, they'd be across the room from each other, and he'd hit this button on the remote, and her underwear would vibrate. And you could see her move and squirm a little bit, and it turned him on. And he told us so about good. This. But what do you think about that, Jaya? I don't know. This is probably way off topic.
For the record, for everyone listening, that is not what I was talking about.
I was just thinking maybe you could add that in, Dimitri, if that's what you're into.
I've done this many times, and I recommend it for homework, especially for any of you who have kinky in your blueprint and you love the taboo and loved, you know, movie theaters. And there are lots of different kinds of vibrating panties out there and all kinds of fun things. There's even apps that you could control from far away so you don't even have to be there. Like, there's so many fun things that you can play with. And then you can create context around it of, you know, you're tonight, I own you, you know, in a good way own you, yeah. you know, because yeah. this is with consent. But I own you, you're mine. And therefore, I get to control your pleasure. You can't have an orgasm until I say so. I'm going to, you know, turn this on and off. Like, these kinds of fun things where
keep
you can
going,
start.
Keep going, Jaya.
Yeah, is anybody else getting, like, insanely turned on here right now? It's a good thing we're all sitting down.
I bet they won't complain about you being on your phone too much. If it's with an app.
That was amazing.
By the way, Gavin just texted me and he said he's the one that's into the sucking of the big toes. So just so we cover that.
Awesome.
I do that.
Elaborate.
I do that. My wife really enjoys it when I suck on her toes. Yeah. Huh. True story.
Interesting.
What? Amy's, what are you doing?
I'm giving signals to Danielle that please call People Magazine and let them know.
Hey, we play around. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
And do you like her to reciprocate? Do you like your toes sucked?
I would never. My toes are in skates and workout shoes, and I can shower and soap them off, but I would never.
Hey, there are some people who are into that, too.
Well, let's see them. You're not wearing shoes right now. Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, my God. Wear sandals.
That one looks like it has a wig on. Shave that thing.
So that's one. Anyway, back on track here.
So another great question that I like to ask is, when it comes to sexual interaction, I mostly crave. And if any of you go to take the quiz, you're going to see these questions. So you can work with your partner and just say, tell me something that you crave when it comes to sex, and just go back and forth. This is a great exercise to start to open up the conversation. So here's another one. When it comes to sexual interaction, I mostly crave endless, timeless erotic sessions where I am fed in all ways, when my hunger is seen and as a superpower instead of as overwhelming and too much. Or I crave scratching, slapping, squeezing, or holding, or being held down. You can guess which blueprint that is. Or I crave mostly sexual penetration ending in a climax, more intercourse overall. Or I crave amazing touch, massage, pleasure in my whole body. Or I crave my partner's full presence in this moment, my partner being fully present to my body, my heart, my soul, and my spirit.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Jaya, as you were talking about that, do you recommend that couples take this quiz at the same time?
That's a good question.
I recommend taking it separately.
Really?
And then coming back and then talking about it. And this is only if you really have struggled communicating about sex. You're going to feel more comfortable. You're going to answer more honestly if your partner's not there. Now, if the two of you are already comfortable, then yes, go ahead and take it together. And then you're going to get enlightened and be able to, like, actually stop while you're taking the quiz and go, let's talk about that one. Let's share more about that. What about that turns you on? That's another really great question. If, for example, the big toe sucking, if you're turned on by big toe sucking, what about that turns you on?
Yeah. So as you were just talking there, I was thinking, my wife and I have taken this quiz separately But as you were just talking, I would like to take it with her at the same time so we can look at the question together and voice why this I think this one and why she thinks that one.
Mm-hmm. I just had a quick question for Brooks. When you said about the sucking the toe, now you said that's obviously a big turn on for your wife. Is that a turn on for you as well? Or is it like knowing that it's a turn on for her makes it?
Yeah. Do you get enjoyment out of it?
Yes, you enjoy doing
it. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I enjoy giving my wife a massage. I really enjoy touching her body and giving her a massage before getting to just straight sex. So that's every part of her body. And my wife's a dancer. So her whole life, her feet have been in high heels and her feet, she's danced 8 hours a day. Her feet are always sore. And so a big turn on for her because of her profession has been feet. And so there'll be a lot of times where we're on the couch and she'll put her feet on me. She just it's a love language for her. If I rub her feet, she feels immensely loved and taken care of.
Can I tell you a secret about feet? A spot?
Please. Let me look at the screen here.
He's getting a pen. Hold on.
It's called the bubbling spring.
Okay.
And it's right below the big toe. Okay, I'm going to show you guys my feet.
Right there.
Right here.
The bubbling spring.
Okay, so press
that's it.
Right in there.
That's it right there.
It's a gorgeous feet, by the way.
I think that's where my blister is, though.
I'm working it too hard. Can you elaborate on the bubbling spring and why you showed us that?
So I know a whole lot of different sexual modalities. I studied a whole lot about ancient cultures and sexuality. So this is a Taoist practice, and it goes in with Chinese medicine, but there's an acupressure point right there. And a lot of times when I have clients, we'll go right to that spot when they start to get into higher pleasure and we'll press on that spot and it just sends them crazy. Like they'll start to get gyrations through their whole body and kind of like shaking. It's really fun. So pressing in that spot stimulates one of the meridians that goes up into the kidneys and it's, I can get into all kinds of fun stuff there, but I think that that's enough brain tickage there for the fun facts. I think you guys get it. Just pressing right there. You can go right up into the meridian and then it can starts to get convulsions into the body. Really fun.
The bubbling spring of the foot.
Maybe we'll have to put a picture on our Instagram page
so you can find it easier
for everybody
right
to
next
find
to
it.
The manator.
Which of you will be our foot model?
Probably
not me. Brooks.
Ryan claimed today he was going to be a hand model, so maybe Ryan's gonna be a
if
foot
we can
model.
Get those orthopedic shoes off and we can probably get a picture of his feet.
Wait, Jaya, can you hold your foot up again for our camera?
Oh, Tori's taking a picture right there.
Brooks, let me ask you this. Do you?
Brooks is so distracted. He just called Danielle Tori.
Oh, did I? Oh. Just getting Tori more airtime.
Do you enjoy giving a massage to Julianne if you don't, or if you know that it's not going to lead to sex?
Yes. Yeah. I'll probably almost do that daily. Most days there'll be some element of rubbing her feet or shoulders or something. I know she really appreciates it. There's other times she just comes and puts her feet right on me. So, yes, I do. I would for sure.
Well, thanks for making the rest of us look like assholes.
Yeah, Brooks really
like,
makes you
my
three
wife
look
every day.
Bad.
We're all like,
I don't do it. Well, let's be honest. It's probably not every day, but it's not an uncommon occurrence.
You're gonna do it more that you know about the bubbling spring, though.
I have never tried the bubbling spring. Maybe
tonight's the night.
Yes. Tonight, the bubbling spring.
And I'll say here that it just shows blueprinting. Like nobody's wrong or bad. Like if you just like to give the shoulder massage for 5 seconds and then get to intercourse, that's awesome. Like that was me, right? Like I get me a little bit turned on and then I want to go straight to intercourse. I want to go straight to penetration. And there's nothing wrong or bad about that. That's just perhaps the type that you are. Now, if you like to give a 5-hour massage or a 30-minute massage and you don't need, like you feel fulfilled in that, you're great too. Like nobody is wrong, bad, or broken. And I think that's one of the messages that I really want to get across because we don't talk about sex. We get in a comparison game, like, oh my God, that person's having all these different orgasms or this or that, as opposed to you are just who you are erotically right now in this moment, and that's okay. Now, can you grow? Absolutely. But who you are erotically is not bad and wrong or strange or not normal. The majority of people out there feel like they're abnormal, and I'm here to say you are normal in your erotic mapping, most likely, and you're not broken.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating that you said you were a fan of the 5-second massage, but yet 10 minutes ago you told us about your 13-hour marathon sessions. I don't know where the rest of the time goes.
But, but she also said, you said that erotic blueprints can change over time. Correct?
Yes.
So have you seen that happen in any of the couples you've worked with where maybe they start out as one, and then how long over time, how long are we talking? Is it a year? Is it 5 years? Or like for people, Rick and Dimitri have both been married almost 15 years. Would you say in the course of their lives that you think their erotic blueprint has probably shifted or their wives has shifted?
Yes. So we have different things that happen in life that can create a shift in blueprint. So birth of a child can create a shift in blueprint. Longevity of the relationship can create a shift. Menopause, you know, life changes, injuries, sickness. There are many things that can shift our blueprint, as well as partnership. So if you're single and you're listening, that can also change depending upon the partner that you get. We're looking at polarization. Oftentimes we polarize in relationship. So what I see happen is as people gain awareness of their blueprint and they have this awareness, they're then able to go, oh, I can expand into all these different languages. Now I'm fluent in, like you said, 5-6 different languages. I can speak all the different erotic languages. And therefore, no matter what life hits me with or what life change happens or how things shift, I'm able to go in and create epic sex.
Wow. Epic sex, yes. Ryan. Epic sex.
I'm in.
He's blown away. Your mind is blown. Yeah, I want to thank you so much, Jaya. Can we give her a round of applause? First, I want to commend you. Just listening to you speak, you're attacking an area that socially is maybe, as you said, taboo or hush-hush, and you're very bold and courageous, and I want to acknowledge that. You attack this and you try and open this platform for other people to have a voice in and to feel expressed and understood by their partner. So, anybody listening can take the Erotic Blueprint quiz at eroticbreakthrough.com, but where can they find you and get in touch with you? Because you were a hot topic from our listeners from the episode with my wife, and now after our listeners hear you talk, I'm sure your email is going to be full and your phone's going to be ringing off the hook. But where is the best place for our listeners to get in touch with you?
Jaya.love is my website, so it's jaiya.love, love. If you want to visit our website, but go take the quiz, eroticbreakthrough.com, and you'll see me talking on videos. You'll get a video with me and you'll get connected with us there. I'm also on Facebook and all those good social media platforms. And I want to also just acknowledge you guys for having this conversation. I know that this can be edgy territory and you're opening a box. I mean, one of my big missions in life is to have a conversation and community around sexuality, and you're all putting yourselves out there too. So just thank you so much for having me on, for having this conversation. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was excellent.
We appreciate it. And like I said, my wife, if you're ever in LA, would love to take you out for dinner or have you up to the house. But at some point we'll be in touch real soon because she's a massive fan of yours and all the work that you do. And she's very explorative and curious in this space. So that's how I got into it. So credit to her. And credit to you for all the work that you do. And I'm sure that I will be seeing your face or talking to you very soon. So thank you for the time today. Really appreciate it. Thank you, good sirs, for opening up about some intimate topics. And we'll be right back. Yes. This is Gavin DeGraw here.
Hello, it's Gavin.
What up, brother?
What's going on?
No,
been some ice cream cake.
We miss you, dude.
Who's eating ice cream cake? I miss you guys back, man.
What are you doing right now?
I'm hanging, man. I'm on the tour bus, hanging out with my dog and
sick
buddy.
That's
buddy,
it, man.
Give us so tour kicked off on Thursday. How's it going so far, buddy?
Man, it better be going good, or I'm in trouble.
Well, hopefully this podcast someday makes money, and it can be your backup plan in case the vocals in case the vocals disappear.
That's it.
Or
you never know.
Or the offer's on the table from all four of us to turn us into like a boy band of five.
Yeah.
Or a man band.
Absolutely.
A man band.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing cooler than a man band. And I think we should all have our own independent stylists.
Yeah.
Where we show up and we do one of us is, you know, the hot one.
That'd
and one
Rick.
Of us is not as hot one. And then there's a third one who's not as hot as the one that isn't as hot as the first hot one.
And then we'll say, and then Dimitri.
And then there's the one who everybody likes because he knows that he's not hot, but he's okay with not being the hot one. And then there's the other one who's like, the girls like him just because they know that he would never even claim to accept the fact that he wasn't hot, but also knew that
dude,
he wasn't
where
hot.
Are you going? Dude,
there's only five of us.
Yeah. But that was, you caught that too. That was the sixth guy.
Well, I haven't gotten to all the cousins of the man band members who also would be out and have start up their own social accounts.
Back to your stylist point, buddy. I think I'd have the best stylist because right now I'm wearing a Gavin DeGraw T-shirt. The new merch.
Yes.
There's a big moon behind you. I just texted you the photo.
He's got it.
We did. Hey, I didn't know we made shirts for boys.
Hey, put it this way. You sold five shirts already.
Dude, he cut off the sleeves though, and he rolled it up like a tube top.
I'll post it on our Instagram for you to see. Everybody can see the best damn shirt. This might be my new
awesome.
Date
it's
night
so
shirt.
It's a good workout shirt too.
This is a date night shirt. You don't wear shirts
on date night.
So which ones did you get? Because I tried to mail you guys the little half shirts.
We're talking about, should we cut the sleeves off, cut these off at the belly, and send just a photo to you saying we're your biggest fans?
We just did that thing where you pull it up through the neck and pull it down, so it looks like a tube top.
I do got to commend you though, brother. This T-shirt is extremely comfortable, and I'm gonna share it on my Instagram page to plug your All merch. Right. Because we want you to get your grotto. That. You're not getting any checks from How Men Think. Right. So we got to get that merch flying off the shelves and get you your grotto.
Okay.
Well, that's very generous. Let me tell you why those are so soft. Because I hand wash them myself.
I thought you were going to say you hand knit them.
and then they smell so good because I towel dry my dog with them before I fold them up and put them in the boxes to distribute.
Oh, you're a hardworking man,
that's right.
Buddy.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw a picture of your dog on your Instagram, and then I commented,
he's
I was like,
stuff.
"Yeah, we got to get him a play date with our boy Coda."
Oh man,
my husky.
Let's do it. Yeah. You know what we should do? We should start a TV show that's like, it's like Chips, but
dog
they're two
dates.
Dogs.
Yeah. Dog
that's
dates.
Right. But they're like they're the canine dogs that are a duo.
Dog
they
days of summer.
That's what I'm talking about. They have their own merchandising. They could start. We could have our own video game.
Bobbleheads.
That's right. That's right.
So there's alcohol on the tour bus, it seems.
Yeah.
A one-man party.
This is a contact high. I'm kidding.
Hey, Gav. Gav, we just talked to Miss Jaya, the sexual blueprint woman.
The sexologist.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Was she the one?
My wife referenced.
Was she the dark-haired girl?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Jaya?
Yes.
Yep.
She's a sexologist.
I guess if we had to sum it up and give you the cliff notes, Brooks sucks Julianne's toes.
Is a sexologist somebody who basically makes drinks but with genitals?
Maybe. That's. I can't say no. But that's a really profound question,
oddly
buddy.
Enough, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You think that's your point.
But anyway, so she ran us through the have you taken the quiz? Have you taken your erotic blueprint quiz? Because we were all kind of laughing and wondering what you might be.
Man, I'm not much for schoolwork.
I think Gavin's got an erotic tattoo. He doesn't go for the blueprint. It's a straight tattoo.
The problem with me and quizzes is the second someone even says the word quiz, I just break out sweating profusely and start feeling a little bit nauseous.
So anyway, it gives you this answer of whether you are energetic, as like your sexual energy is energetic, kinky,
sensual,
or a shapeshifter. And so we're all four of us were different things. But
isn't that the nature of a shapeshifter, is that they would be different things? So are you all shapeshifters?
No, I'm a shapeshifter. The other guys are,
I was sexual.
Rick was
shapeshifter.
Oh, you're a shapeshifter.
Wait,
too.
when you say shapeshifter, does that make me like con man?
Think of it like you can play. Think of it like you can play all of the instruments in the band.
Sounds about right.
Like you can play the drums, the bass, the guitar, and you can sing.
Okay.
Look at Ryan's cringing over there. He's like
I'm trying to make sense of this analogy.
Okay. But okay, so which one of you was kinky is the question. I'm not going to sit next to you.
Do you want the answer to that? Because it's you're going to go, oh, of course. Amy was kinky.
Amy was kinky. Self-admittedly kinky, or like
she didn't even take the test.
She just came right out with it. And there's a poll running. There's a poll running that you're probably kinky as well.
Oh, that's the poll.
Yeah.
Well, what's the wager?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Well, hell, I mean, I want to know the odds because I can bet on me.
I'll bet $100 that says you come out kinky.
Hey man, it's very possible. I think if I was to discuss this in public, which I would never do.
just between us.
I would say...
Yeah, nobody's listening to this.
Nobody's listening. I would say that you basically have to become whatever the environment is, right? But at the same time, you have your own, I guess, version of adapting to the moment, right? So I don't know what that makes me, but hopefully I'm adaptable.
I think that makes you a shapeshifter. You play with all the instruments.
I think that actually, I often say that actually kind of makes me a little bit full of.
They call that a one man band.
I think that makes
that's
you
a one man band.
So Gavin,
that's called a one man band. That's too funny. I think the best part about this is that probably this isn't even going on. You guys are just setting me up. They're like, yeah, so I'm a. Blah, blah, blah. What are you, Gavin DeGraw? Are you a super kink? We have a bet going.
Super kink.
So, Gavin,
new song.
How super weird are you, bro?
In our conversation with the sexologist, one of us in the group divulged that he sucks his wife's toes. Which among the four of us here today do you believe that to be?
Huh. Well, it wouldn't be Brooks.
Interesting.
It would be.
Talk us through your logic as you eliminate people, please.
Somebody who gets to put their feet up on their desk at work, so they think that perhaps they have a clean foot. Somebody.
I love you, man.
Somebody who does, who they have never bought open-toed shoes for, and somebody who also must have very, very nice looking feet. I mean, very nice feet.
Okay.
Or they have very, very bad teeth, and they don't care what goes in their mouth.
So who is your guess for who on our panel sucks their wives' toes?
Who sucks their wives' toes? Ryan.
Wrong. I take that as a compliment. Thank you, but that is not correct.
Next.
All right.
Process of elimination.
Actually, is that insulting or is that a compliment?
It's not Ryan. Okay, hold on a second now. Maybe Rick would do it.
Why do you think Rick would do it?
Because I seen him swim in a dirty lake.
He won't even suck a lollipop. He's out.
What do they say? A pig will always find dirt. Okay, so it's not Rick.
It's not Rick.
So it is not Ryan. You've guessed Ryan and Rick, and it is not Ryan or Rick.
Yeah, he's ruled you out.
He's sort of ruling out Brooks, but I don't know if that's...
You guys got me feeling lucky. I need to spend more time in Las Vegas.
We're going there, buddy. September 19th, we're going there for the iHeart Music Festival.
Oh, we're doing Vegas? What?
We're doing... I might need your weight on this, but I'm leveraging Amy hard to put us at the Bellagio or the Venetian... And she's saying we kind of have accommodation somewhere else. And I said, no, Gavin will not put up with that. Bellagio or
wait
Venetian.
Listen, all I heard was wait. You call me fat?
No.
That was like 10 minutes ago.
All the ice cream cake is gone, Gavin. It's all right.
Okay, back to it. Who do you think it is? Rick or do you think it's Dimitri or myself?
Man, I don't know. Man, this is the hardest game of roulette I've ever played, gentlemen. I don't know. Well, you're the newlywed. I mean, you're newlywed, dude. See, you're in a honeymoon phase. So you're probably up for about anything right about now. So yeah, we'll see in 20 years if you're still sucking toes.
That's right. It was Brooks.
It's Brooks.
Of course.
Yeah. He goes, of course. I was the first word out of your mouth. It's not Brooks. Now it goes, of course.
There's a little twist. Brooks sucks Ryan's wife's toes.
No.
No.
Man, that really is kinky. No.
Oh, buddy. Buddy, how's the tour? Hey, how's life on the tour?
Tour's good, man. I love touring, so I love the road. I happen to love being in the tour buses, so... It's just kind of just a comfortable place for me, and I'm just somebody who likes watching the miles tick by.
Yeah,
not not a big airplane fan. I much prefer traveling on tour buses.
I got a question, probably for the listeners. Yeah. Want to hear an answer? I mean, do you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner on the bus? Like, what are you doing on the bus? Do you stop over? Do you have an agenda on where you want to stop and eat and go visit things?
Well, I look up. I looked some stuff up online, you know, like, use the apps, like, where do you recommend I eat in such and such a town, you know, do a little research and find recommended places and talk to locals also when you get to certain places and say, what's the best place in town and what place would you, you know, where do the tourists go? So don't send me there. Send me where, like, you would go with your, you know, with your friends or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Local spots.
You find... Yeah, exactly. You find some great stuff out on the road. You know, there's some great holes in the wall and places like that. And there's some great better dining and worse dining and, you know, taverns and pubs and stuff like that. So there's just a lot. There's a lot of world to see. You know, my liver is willing to do all of it.
Do you only eat at places that Guy Fieri has eaten on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Is that accurate? It's good enough for Triple D. It's good enough for the Gav, you know?
That's correct. That's correct.
One way trip to Flavortown, bud.
Are you?
Keep a donkey sauce on a flip flop.
Do you have a side deal with Guy Fieri here? That you?
I've always just wanted to work donkey sauce into a flip flop. That's
into a podcast.
So mission accomplished. Goodbye.
Random question: guys in flip flops. How do you think you are perceived socially? Because I was wearing flip-flops today, and I was thinking to myself, well, these are pretty comfortable. And somebody took a picture, and I was like, I'm wearing flip-flops.
So, full transparency, brother. If you could see me, I'm kicked back on a couch with one leg crossed over the other, and I have a pair of black flip-flops on right now. That's all I wear.
Are you watching the Golf Channel?
No, I'm not. I've never. I don't. My dad actually watches the Golf. I live in flip-flops. I'm either in workout shoes or flip-flops.
The weird thing is Brooks has socks on, too. So it's a good look. You can pull it off.
Socks and Birkenstocks.
Wait, are you rocking the socks with the sandals right now?
Yeah, I am. Like knee highs.
He likes to keep his toes free for sucking.
don't ever tell anybody else that.
Nobody, you're fine in the flip flops.
But what about if the musician, for example, if I'm asking for a friend, if there's a musician on stage and he's wearing flip flops, how do you feel about that
during the show or during rehearsal?
During the show.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be a fan of that, unless it was like Jimmy Buffett, and it's like if you're on a beach.
Yeah, right. Okay. So it has to suit the music style.
Yeah. Is it like a little summer kind of festival, just kicking back, relaxed, just chill music, or is it like a
rock
show?
What if he's wearing one? What if he's up there playing his songs? He's wearing one very nice shoe, and his wife is sucking on his other foot.
I don't even know how to go with that one.
Me neither.
Question for you, buddy. Just to educate us so we know what you're going through out there, and then also our listeners are probably really super curious. What does an average day on tour look like? Like, let's say where you have a show tonight, what does the full day on tour look like?
Full day on tour, it's kind of hard to explain. It's a little bit like half hibernation, half hard work. Because you're sitting in your tour bus for a good part of the day, hanging out just because it's your house. You know, your bus is your home on the road. You know, it's sort of like this traveling cabin. and then I'll go in, I'll rehearse with the band. We'll do that for an hour or 2 or 3 hours or whatever.
What time is that?
Working on material. That's in the afternoon. But typically the hours are a little bit messed up because the sleeping is a little bit inconsistent depending, because I don't know about what kind of sleeper you guys are, but if the bus stops, right, and it stops frequently throughout the night because drivers want to take a break and hop off the bus and refuel, et cetera, you may wake up a few times throughout the night or several times throughout the night. So you're kind of sleeping on and off, on and off, on and off, working, taking a nap, working, rehearsal, take a nap, go out for a walk, check out the town, head back, do a signing, do a meet and greet, hang with your fans, sign some autographs, play your show, hang out after the show, do sign autographs, take pictures, stuff like that. And then you roll out usually very late at night because the best traveling time is in the middle of the night for the buses because there's no traffic, you know. So
do you guys leave at 2 a.m.? Do you leave at 2 a.m.?
That's common, you know, midnight, 2, depends how long the drive is. And if it's a really long drive, we'll go out with double drivers. We'll bring a couple drivers, a couple drivers will split the shifts. Stuff like that.
What's your absolute favorite thing about being on tour?
I like not sticking around. You know what I mean? I like just kind of checking out the scenery and then hopping on the bus and splitting and then going to the next place. It's just what I like to do. You know, I like the fact that it changes every day. And I actually like the small inconveniences that kind of force you to go out and, you know, it makes the most fundamental task become a task. You're like, oh damn, I just ran out of whatever. I don't have a car here. I need to go figure out a ride to get to such and such.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, just because day-to-day life is so much easier at home and kind of like overly convenient at home, tends to be overly convenient. It's nice being out on the road because it kind of, the small things to do are actually pleasurable. I can't really sell that idea to anybody, but if you just notice everything's where you're used to having it, and then you kind of get thrown into a different house and a different town every day, it just changes your routine.
It sounds like you got it down. It sounds kind of cool.
It's an adventure. I've been on tour with my wife and her brother, my brother-in-law. It's an adventure. You have little mini adventures in every little city. Like something goes wrong, you don't know where this is, and you have to figure this out. And it's every day is kind of a new little day. You get to the new venues, there's different staff, different places have, you can probably attest to this, that some audiences in some places are exceptional and other ones you'll have to work harder to get them to feel some energy back from them.
Absolutely. There's certain things about it that are really predictable. But there's certain things about it also that they're completely uncontrollable, right? And so, you know, and the reality is you can give the same show tomorrow night that you give tonight, and tonight's show, people are absolutely losing their minds. And tomorrow night, you may feel like, you know, they're asleep at the wheel, but it doesn't mean they're not loving the show.
Do you ever change the show?
Set list from
one night to the next night, does it change?
Yeah, we'll alter some things, and just to keep it fresh for ourselves up on stage. You get the first few nights going, give it a little consistency just so you feel like you have your bearings.
Yeah.
Then to begin, you know, making changes, kind of like learning anything, you know what I mean? Like learning an instrument, the same thing with kind of learning your set list and any technique. You learn your technique, and then you start expounding on your technique, you know what I mean? Same thing with the show. The second you get a few down and you're feeling you're really capable of it, then you can start throwing wrenches at it and altering it a little bit here and there and kind of keeping it interesting for yourself. Plus, you know, there's a lot of revisitation, you know, with fans. They'll come out. Some fans will come out to, you know, one or two shows. Some fans come out to 10 shows. You know what I mean? And there's people who come out to 80 shows. You know what I mean? So, and you want to give them some variation so that they go, oh wow, that night he played, you know, some song that they haven't heard in, you know, 10 years, you know. So
Chariot.
And I think you need to do that. Right, exactly. We never know. It's like you play Chariot one night, or, you know, I tend to play Chariot more often just because it was a hit. So you need to play Chariot, I Don't Want to Be, Not Over You, certain songs that are bigger hits. You try to give those to your fans on a regular basis.
Do you always save one of those for the encore, and do you leave the stage and demand the standing ovation to woo you back out?
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, you're gonna love this. So get this. So my first big hit was I Don't Want to Be. Right? It's called I Don't Want to Be. And I remember it started becoming a hit song, and I remember I was getting all these gigs, and a lot of the gigs that were coming were sort of like college type gigs, right? And which almost seemed like the joke was on me because I quit school. And so, you know, they got me playing at all these colleges. And I remember I wanted to change things up. So one day I go out and I play the song that's the big hit, the first hit, and I played it like fifth song. And by like the 10th song, there were like half as many people in there. It's like, you know, they showed up to hear one song.
You got to hold it to the end.
We got what we came here for. See you later, sucker. You know, and so, but you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve there. But at the same time, you know, you must play certain songs at your show. The songs that are your biggest hits, you got to play those. It's important.
What's your favorite song right now to play? The one that you just like might not be the biggest hit, but the one that you yourself enjoy singing the most.
Most recently, would probably be the most recent one. That I've been wanting to add to the set list for a few years, but haven't. It's called You Make My Heart Sing Louder. And because that was my mom's favorite song from my last record.
Right on.
And now my mom's not around anymore. So it was great to nail that one down in the studio or in the rehearsal studio. And feel like we finally were executing it right, you know, to bring it out on tour, this tour.
Will you intro it with that it was your mom's favorite song and this is why you want to...
Do you tell stories about this? Or do you engage with the audience?
Yeah, it depends on the night, you know. Sometimes, some songs you roll right through.
Yep.
Sometimes you pick your certain moments in the show to say, you know, if you find this is something that's really worth telling. Sometimes you tell little bits and pieces throughout the show and you think, oh, that's not connecting, or maybe I'm talking too much throughout the show and taking the flow from the actual show, you know? So there's that fine line, right, between the bits of storytelling and the relatability stuff on stage, but also trying not to slow the show down so much where they're like, man, this is a real snooze fest. If I thought we were just doing a story time, I would have gone to the bookstore. You know what I mean? So, you know, so you try to find those sweet spots where the right times to engage the audience.
Have you thought about giving a shout out and being like, listen, if you guys like hearing me talk, download the How Men Think podcast.
Boom.
That's right.
I mean, these arenas are packed, right? You do this in every.
I agree with you, and we should have a T-shirt that says "Brooks sucks toes."
Ryan will make one for me.
That's right. Brooks sucks.
By the way, on your tour bus, do you have? This is going to seem like
does
a
it
random
have a
question.
Face on the side of the bus.
Yeah, does it?
Nice. No, that's a good question. Terrible idea.
Oh, does it have like your autograph? Like.
That's you know what that says when you have your face on the side of your bus?
It says, I'm a big deal. I got my face on the side of a bus.
Boom.
It says, draw something in my mouth with a Sharpie and on the outside of my bus.
That's why Ryan was asking. He's going to fly down there and do that.
So here's the real important question. I'm just excited to say I'll see you in a couple days at that place where we're doing the gig together that we told that we said we wouldn't tell the other guys about. You know what I'm talking about? So I'll be excited to see you there. But how come we haven't actually been offered a featuring gig on your tour?
Yeah,
I thought we were good friends,
or at least like
maybe,
a tryout.
Maybe there should be a day that you guys come out and we just sit on stage and we do an episode in front of the audience. For yes. Like
so see what he did there? Hour. You see what he did there? Mm-hmm. That's a deflection. That's a classic deflection.
No, but I like this better. I'd rather go talk in front of the audience than go and sing.
No, but he just said what he just said in a polite way was you guys can't sing worth.
Yeah. Shh. No, he's right though.
No, that's not what I said. What I meant to say was, why don't you guys show up? I'm going to need some extra hands moving the gear.
All right, but
I might have a mutiny on my hands.
Ryan wants his face on the bus, though.
No, man. Absolutely. Well, we all got Sharpies. So
yes,
you can,
exactly.
Be careful. Be careful what the portrait you put up. No, man. I think that would be great. Come on out. If you want to get up and we'll do a little jam. You guys play any instruments?
I do. I play guitar, I play drums, and I play piano.
Is that true?
That's true. When I was 7, 8, and 9, my mom said I had to take piano lessons. She took piano and she said I had to take piano or I couldn't play hockey. So I learned piano at a very young age. And then when I turned pro, I was 19 years old and a trainer in our room, his dad had got arthritis and his dad played guitar and had 9 guitars for sale. He was trying to sell his dad's guitar.
Kidding.
And I said, I'll buy one. Just give me one. I'll buy
and
one.
And you were like, I can make a stick out of this neck of this guitar for sure.
And then, so that's how I picked up guitar. And then I used to go to the guitar center to get new strings and look at guitars and all that kind of stuff. And then the one day I was in there, there was a sale on drums and I just bought a set of drums. So I can play.
How's your drumming?
I love drums, man. When I had drums and guitar in my basement in my house, I would go downstairs and I would gravitate toward the drums first. I've never taken any lessons in guitar or drums, and I ended up giving them away when I left DC. But it's so much fun, man. You can lose yourself in music. It is so much fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They say that, and I don't know if this is true, but they say that people who play drums and people who study martial arts, that their brain actually rewires itself for your limb independence.
Oh, yeah. That's the first thing you have to do.
Your coordination changes completely.
Big time. Have you ever played drums? Have you played, like, sat down and tried to play those drums? Can you?
I only do it for money.
It is, but you have to break everything, like your limbs all move in sequence. They go up and down together, and you have to break that chain so they can move independently.
Exactly.
He's a black belt on the snare drum.
Well, buddy, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're super busy.
Yeah,
I know,
man,
I'm
excited to talk to you guys, man. We missed you at the lake, man.
I know. I miss you guys too. I heard all these stories.
Yeah,
I heard
Ryan
you and Dimitri had a nice
here.
Little.
Cool.
Heard you and Dimitri had a nice little date around the lake. He filled us in on that.
Dude, they started saying we had a romantic drive around the lake, and finally, I just gave in. And I said, you know what? It was pretty nice.
That's it. Us and. You know, a couple solo cups and a bottle of Corbel. We got crazy.
And Buddy.
And Buddy.
That's it.
Well, dude, we wish you the best of luck. We wish you the best of luck on tour. At some point, we'll come out and see you. Just huge fan.
I hope you guys do.
Huge fan of your music. Where can people get tickets for the tour right now? Where could they go?
Just go to my name, Gavin DeGraw, and just type up Gavin DeGraw on tour.
And buy
and, you could buy tickets right there.
And buy the VIP. Buy the VIP.
That's it. That's right. Buy the VIP or not. And just come out and check out the show, man. It's all about the music. So we come out and we do what we do and we put some smiles on faces. That's
nice.
What we like to do.
Well, have fun, man. We miss you.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot, fellas. Miss you, fellas.
Yeah, brother. Miss you too.
I miss Amy too, Sugar Man.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to you, Amy. She loves you. She says she loves you. She misses you too.
I love you and the girls.
She said she's kinky.
Yeah.
Love the girls.
Okay, buddy. Travel safe. Be well. Have a blast out there. And for everybody else listening, take care of one another. Love one another. And we will see you right back here for another episode of How Men Think next week.
Lick toes.
Yep.
Hey guys, it's Brooks, and one last thing before we let you go. If you liked today's episode, we would love to get a 5-star review from you on iTunes. And if you could possibly share it with a friend, that would be amazing as well. We always look forward to your questions, comments, or insights, so you can send us an email at men@iheartradio.com and also follow along with us on Instagram @HowMenThinkPodcast.